Hey, Dry Shampoo Divas. Welcome to another episode of Motherhood Adventure, where we're supporting each other through the journey of motherhood. As always, I'm here with Jessica.
Hey, ladies.
And we are really excited about our January episodes. We had the wonderful idea to tackle some of the most common goals of 2022 as a follow-up to our Goal Getters episode. So we're really excited for that.
Whoop, whoop. Yeah, we are.
And today we're going to be tackling clutter, which I think is something that impacts all of us.
Yeah.
There is something about this time of year that just makes me want to declutter like crazy. But does anyone feel like this is so much easier said than done?
Yeah, with all like the brand new toys from Christmas and everything else, it's like, where am I even going to put this? Like,
Agreed. And I'm somebody who is way influenced by my environment. And so I tend to feel very anxious and stressed when my household starts to feel cluttered. So I've been determined to find solutions to cut down on clutter, which, as you know, clutter inevitably follows our children everywhere. And I definitely think this is something that applies to stay-at-home moms, career moms, everybody. I feel like on the days I work really long days, I come home and I think, oh my gosh, I don't have enough time to get this all cleaned. And I just often think, oh, if I had more time at home, I know I would keep a cleaner home. But then I do have Fridays at home with my son and he pulls stuff out as fast as I can put things away. And I think, oh my gosh, if he was home all the time, our house would be trashed. So I just think there is no win. Either way, it's got its struggles. And so I definitely think that keeping things more tidy is something that could easily apply to moms on both sides of the spectrum.
I completely agree with that. They're just cutesy little mess makers. You turn around, it's like, ah! So it's just constant stress, you know?
Exactly. So today, in talking about tidiness, I wanted to start by the definition of tidy from Merriam-Webster. So the definition for tidy is neat and orderly in appearance or habits. And so I'll be coming back to that a little bit later, but I just want you to ponder on that for a second. I want to start by telling you how decluttering normally goes for me. It starts with, man, my counters are kind of a mess. I should start getting those cleared off. And then I'll be like, oh, I spilled little onion flakes everywhere. I should reorganize my little spice cabinet. And then, you know, 3 hours later, I have a beautifully organized spice cabinet and I have a still cluttered kitchen, pantry, countertops, everything. And so I am always like, man, how is it that I just got tunnel vision and I got this one little thing done and it's beautiful, but the rest of my house looks like a bomb went off. Does that ever happen to you, Jessica?
Yes, it does. It's usually like slobs on the walls from like kids throwing food or something. And I'm like wiping things down and I'm like just continuing to wipe and wipe and wipe. And it's never ending wiping. And I'm like, I feel like I got so much done today. But you look around and you're like, you can't even tell I did anything, but I wiped every surface of my house down. I promise.
Yeah. And as I did a little bit of research on this, like why sometimes we tend to get tunnel vision and just go down those rabbit holes of I'm going to work on this little thing, I found a couple different reasons why this typically happens. One is that small accomplishments feel good. Just like you said, you feel like, dang, even if the rest of my house looks like a bomb went off, somebody go look at the spice cabinet because it is looking fine. And so sometimes when we have those bigger accomplishments, they just feel daunting. We don't even know where to begin when we stare at the whole kitchen and it's a complete mess. It's just so overwhelming. We're like, I'm just going to go organize this section that doesn't really matter. And so small accomplishments just give us that lovey we can run to for comfort. And The other reason I found that that is kind of an area we run to is that it's easy to get distracted. And so, you know, maybe I'm really focused on getting the countertops cleaned off, but when I go to pick up that little thing of minced onion and put it back in the cabinet it goes in, and I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks horrendous in here. That's all it takes. And suddenly I'm spiraling down this rabbit hole of reorganizing this whole cabinet. So Does that ever happen?
Yes. Yes.
So Jessica, let's just start by talking about some things we can maybe do to not get so easily distracted. One of the biggest things for me, I'm somebody who tends to get sensory overload very easily. I get distracted if my son is playing too loudly. I get distracted if there's a lot of noise. It's very hard for me to stay on task if there's a lot happening around me. And so one of the biggest things that keeps me on track is using a pair of wireless headphones. That sounds silly, but if I have a pair of headphones in and I can be listening to a true crime podcast, or I have some playlists that I really love. There's one called The Cleaning Playlist. There's one called Have a Great Day on Spotify. If I've got something else I can kind of focus and tune in on, for some reason, it just really helps to keep me on track. So headphones, I'm a huge advocate for putting in headphones when you really need to get something done. Obviously, you still want to be able to hear your kids. So either make sure they're the type of headphones where you can still hear things going on around you in your environment, or a lot of times I'll just keep one headphone in, one headphone out. But having something to focus on has been night and day difference for me. And I kind of work one of two ways. One, if I know I have limited time, or we're going out of town, or I have certain things that need to get done, I work really well with a to-do list. And I'll literally just get a piece of paper, write a to-do list, and have it on the counter. I like seeing that I'm checking stuff off of that list. And I'm the type of person that I just have so much running through my mind, it's easy to forget things. So having that to-do list is very helpful. But the other way I function, which I function this way a little bit more, is I just focus on cleaning one room, and I will not leave that room until it's clean or until there's an apocalypse. Because if I go from room to room to room, I just don't quite ever get anything done. And so for me, it's like, okay, I'm going to start out in my kitchen. I'm going to pan to the furthest left that I can. That's where I'm starting. And then I'll just slowly work my way over till I've made it through the whole kitchen. And so that's kind of what I do. Jessica, tell me how you roll out your tasks, your cleaning. Tell me how that rolls out.
Yeah, I feel like basically you've said everything that my thought was as well. I prefer to have something in my ear so that I can focus as well. I don't put like earphones on. I just chuck a podcast on and I keep it in my like back pocket while I walk around and just keep the volume up. I don't know why I don't use earphones, but
I use earphones because I'm listening to murder, which doesn't feel appropriate for a 3-year-old.
Yes, yes, yes. I could totally see that. The fun conversations. I'm also a big advocate of to-do lists, especially with my sticky notes. Gotta always have my sticky notes out and gotta check things off my list to feel accomplished. But I also feel like there are times where I just have to buckle down as well and focus on one room. And it's like, no, one room at a time. You don't leave that room until it's done. I don't know if there's a certain point that I have to reach before I'm like, I can't even step into this room without getting stressed, so that's my apocalypse day. Or if it's just like my to-do list is done and then I need to go back and like rehash out things that maybe I saw while I was working on my to-do list that needed to be taken care of. I guess I haven't thought about when I reach the apocalypse moment, but I do know that they happen. Yeah. One thing that I do is when you were talking about you like to focus on one room or just focus on your to-do list, there are times where I prefer to room hop, which is like out in the main room. You know, you've got toys from one kid, toys from another kid, a towel from a third kid. I won't leave that room until it's like separated into which toys go to what kid's room, or what needs to go back into the kitchen and whatnot. And then I start with that particular pile. I go to that room. I drop it off into that room, and then I look in the room that I'm in and see, is there anything that I need to take back up into the living room so that I don't have to take several trips? And so like I continue to move from room to room, never stopping until the clutter has all been dispersed back into its own spot. Or I do a room hop where I don't put it away. I just set it next to the door of each of the kids' rooms, and then I will clean one room at a time and focus that way. I think it just depends on my mood for that day. If I'm feeling like a quick rush clean, or if it's like, okay, we're just going to kind of go through every room today rather than just a spot clean where it's just, no, put those specific things away, and then it's a quick tidy.
Yeah, I like that.
That's how mine works. I also do some side quests. Like when you were talking about like scrubbing down baseboards and stuff, like if I'm in the kitchen and I do see like a slob on the cupboard, it's like, all right, I know it's not on my to-do list, but when am I in the kitchen constantly like, oh, I should write this on my to-do list? I'm not. So I'm like, okay, stop what you're doing. Do a quick side quest and get a couple of extra coins on the side, you know, and then go back on. I think it just depends on if it's a task that I never think of to add on my to-do list. And I probably should be better about like stopping and then putting it on like tomorrow's to-do list. But that's why I'm not the one that wrote this episode. This is what you're writing the episode on. So I'm going to take your tips.
I think the important thing to note is that Jessica and I do things differently, but that's the whole point. I think it's all trial and error. It's finding what works for you. Everybody's different. Everybody has their own system. And so you do sometimes have to kind of try a couple different things before you find, okay, this I feel is the best system for me. So I appreciate you sharing those things, Jess. I think that's very helpful.
Yeah, hopefully it is. I just gave somebody stress.
And another thing I would say is don't be afraid to take little timeouts between your tasks. It's really easy for me to get burned out if I'm trying to do like a marathon clean. So Don't be afraid to take breaks and, you know, go do something with your kids or just take a second, you know, take 15 minutes and just breathe. So
that is a good reminder.
Yeah, it's easy to, like you said, you can go from thing to thing to thing and it's just kind of never ending. So make sure you're just also taking breaks, bathroom breaks, hydration breaks, kid breaks. Make sure you're taking breaks to make sure your children are still functioning and things. So I want to go back to that simple definition I read at the beginning of this episode. So it, again, says that tidy is neat and orderly in appearance, but this is the part I really want to focus on, or habits. So for today's episode, instead of focusing on the appearance, which I think is what we all think about when we hear the word tidy, I want to focus on habits. When it comes to keeping your house tidy, it's simply not going to happen overnight. And I think we would all love to just wake up to a beautifully clean house, but it feels even when you go through one of those marathon cleans because your mother-in-law is coming from out of town or whatever, and you're like, oh, we should keep it looking like this forever. It only takes a couple days before it's like, oh, dang, we're right back to where we started. So be realistic and just know it's not going to happen overnight. You need to just start somewhere and begin building good habits. I've seen these insane lists on Pinterest that are like, how to keep your house clean in 30 days. And I mean, it's got wiping baseboards. It's like cleaning your rain gutters, for crying out loud. And I'm like, wow, my gosh, I can't even get my kitchen cleaned. How am I supposed to get my whole house perfectly cleaned and dusted and all of this stuff in 30 days? And so I'm going to tell you, ditch any list like that if you're not feeling like you have a good cleaning schedule to begin with. This is like a great place to start. Because if you're looking at lists like that, it's going to feel impossible when you feel like you're not even getting the basics done. So the first thing I want to recommend is that you start with a list of closing duties. For anyone that has worked in like a fast food industry or in retail, you probably had a list of closing duties. If you don't know what that is, it's basically a short task list that has to be done in a store, restaurant, whatever business before the store is closed. So a lot of those things would be like mopping the floor, you know, balancing the cash register, things like that. There are other things that are done at the restaurant, but these are the things that have to be done every single night before the store is closed. So I want to ask you to do the same thing for your house. Start with three things that have to be done every single night before everyone goes to bed. A couple examples could be making sure the dishwasher is loaded or unloaded, making sure your TV room is picked up, making sure lunches or bags are packed for school or work for the following morning, making sure kids' toys are put away. They're that simple, but I want you to just pick three and start with those, and then I want you to actually type them up, write them up, and have them somewhere that you see them on a daily basis, and I want you to make a commitment to prepare to close your household down every single night. So this may seem silly, but I don't want you to add anything else to that list until you've built your three closing duties for at least a month. It's just really important that you get into the habit of doing those things repeatedly and really getting into a routine with those. So once you feel your closing duties have truly become a habit, you can add to your closing duties. You can increase your closing duties to 5 items, or you could maybe expand them every other day and set up different closing duties for every other day. Or you may want to instead keep your 3 closing duties and add 3 opening duties. And again, you're going to then focus on establishing those new duties that you add while keeping the old habits that you've already put into place. So it's really important that you just focus on building good habits to help keep your house tidy. And along with that, I also want to note that without a doubt, the best way to keep your house more tidy is with help. Your partner and your kids should 100% be helping with keeping the house tidy. Even as a toddler, my son knows he needs to come in and put his shoes away when he gets home from daycare. That doesn't mean he always does it, but he knows it's expected and he knows how to do it. And sometimes he needs a little extra reminder or incentive or whatever to get that done. But he's also really great at cleaning his room and helping me with that. So I think it's never too young to start with your kids, and we need to expect that from our kids. They should be helping us out. Same with our partner, based on, you know, what kind of time they have to assist with that, they should be contributing as well. So I think it's a really good idea to sit down and have a family meeting and come up with these closing duties as a family and determine what you feel like is important to have done in your household to get it shut down every night. And then I think it's also important to discuss how each family member can contribute to getting those tasks done. So any thoughts on that, Jess?
No, I like that. I think I'm trying to come up with like a fun, creative way for my kids to choose their own closing tasks. It's just getting those gear wheels spinning on like, yeah, involve your kids.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And I think, like you said, the older they get, you could almost move them into their own list. I think that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, as these closing duties become a set habit for everybody involved, you can work in some other items. And some of those could be decluttering some areas like pantry, closets, holiday decor, things like that. But it's so important to get your essential task list down as a habit first. So I really want, that would be the first step I would focus on if you're just feeling overwhelmed by clutter and you're feeling like you can't quite get on a good cleaning schedule. This is probably the best way to start. So the other thing I really recommend doing is looking to see if there are any systems you can put into place that would help the tidiness of your home. So I want to stress easy in this sentence, because this is not, oh, I want my pantry to look like that ad I saw on Pinterest. It's, which, you know, if you've got the time and you've got your other closing duties done and stuff and you want to go tackle your pantry, great. But the idea for this is to look for simple ways to simplify the cleaning list you already have. So I'm going to give you an example. I used to stage homes, and so one of the packages I would offer, I would actually go walk through a home before it was put on the market and give them recommendations of things that I would recommend they do before they list their home. And a lot of those were really simple things, you guys. It was, hey, you probably shouldn't have, you know, toys just randomly piled in that corner. Find a good storage system where they're at least out of sight. Things like that. And so this is the type of thing that if you just keep looking at an area of your home and you're like, oh man, I don't know what to do about that, it's always a mess, that's what I want to talk about here. So I want you to just take 30 minutes and walk through your home with a notebook and just quickly jot down, take notes of any areas in your home that quickly become cluttered. So quickly become cluttered and make you feel very stressed and distracted, kind of a source of tension for you with the clutter. I want you to take note of those two things. And then I just want you to take a minute after walking through your home and just go through that list and see if there's a quick and easy solution you can come up to for any of those areas that are just contention of clutter. So Jessica, do you have any examples of things like that?
I have examples of where I want to start first with walking through the house. One of the things after we get mail from the mailbox, you know, you walk into the house, you set the mail down like on the countertop mm-hmm. or whatever. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I have to go through all this mail. It's just like a pile there. Ah! So you open each individual one up and you're like, oh, I'm sure Sam will look at that a little later. And then it's just kind of set to the side and, you know, it's not just done and taken care of. It needs a system, a better system. So when you're talking about that, I'm like, okay, let's try to come up with a better system of going through that pile of mail.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's probably an example that a lot of people can relate to, because I feel like everyone kind of ends up with that pile that it's then like, ugh, it just gets added to and added to and added to. And half that pile you're going to throw away anyways, but you have to go through it. So I think that's a great example.
Plus, it keeps the stress low. I feel like it's, you know, it's not super stressful.
Yeah.
Just chuck it.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think that is the type of thing that if you and your husband sat down and talked about it, you probably could come up with something relatively simple of like, hey, somebody initially goes through it. These things go here. Nothing is sitting on the counter. And mm-hmm. that's a prime example of that probably drives you crazy every time you walk into the kitchen. And in a 5-minute discussion, you could probably have it resolved. And that's a great example of exactly what I mean. Mm-hmm. So a couple examples that I will give. I no longer have baby bottles sitting out, but we were feeding my son out of a bottle. And you know how many bottles kids go through. And so it would drive me crazy because we would barely get dishes done. And I would walk into the kitchen and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. There's already 3 bottles on the counter. And we hand washed all of our bottles. We didn't put any of them through the dishwasher. And so there was just constantly this pile of bottles on the counter. And it drove me crazy. And so what we ended up doing was I got a cheap dollar store bin that fit perfectly inside one of our drawers in our cabinets. So I put that bin in there and we ended up just when we were done with a bottle, we would rinse it out with water and then just put it in that bin. And then when we were ready to wash bottles, we would just pull that whole bin out of the drawer. But the nice thing was they were out of sight. And so until I was ready to wash bottles, I did not have to look at a single bottle on the counter. And so I do think, along with your mail example, it's something that simple. Another example would be when we first moved into our house, we have like kind of a small little TV room that's the main area that we kind of, I would say our main living space. And it's visible as soon as you walk in the front door. And so because it's our main TV space, a lot of times there's just blankets and things as we've been sitting out on the couch. And it would drive me crazy that as soon as you walk in our house, you just see these blankets piled everywhere. And even having a basket or something, they were always just thrown in there and it was a mess. And so we ended up just getting a coffee table that the tops lift up. You can put the blankets in there. And even if they're just thrown in there and they're a mess, the table closes and it is out of sight, out of mind. And so sometimes it really is just that simple as, okay, let's take 10 minutes and figure out a system to where we don't have to worry about this anymore. And so I would say just take an opportunity to walk through your house. And like Jessica said, any area that you're like, okay, yeah, I've been struggling with this area for a while. What can we do about it? Just take a few minutes to see if there's a simple solution that would help to cut down on the clutter. And I think that makes a big difference. The last example I would share would be from my childhood, actually. So I had 5 siblings and my mom would just get so tired of all of the cups, especially during the summer, because we would all just be drinking water all day. And we were the type that was like, we got a drink, and then the next time we needed a drink, we would get a new glass, and then she would come home to just like 30 glasses next to the sink or scattered all throughout the house. And so at one point, she took us all to the store, and she was like, you're all picking out a cup. And we actually picked out mugs back then, and so we all had our mug, and that was what we had to drink out of just during the day when we needed a drink. Basically, anytime outside of a meal that we needed a drink, we had to use our designated cup, and then we'd rinse it back out and hang it on a hook like on the side of the cabinet. And so the only time we were actually drinking out of like her nice glass cups was during a meal, and that cut down significantly on, you know, all of the cups she was trying to keep clean. So sometimes it's something that simple that just helps your household to run a little smoother. So just keep that in mind. But really ending, my point is nobody's house is probably as clean as you think it is. And if by chance it actually is, they probably hired somebody. So just let go of some of that stress relating to how clean your house is. It's a wonderful goal to want a more tidy home. It absolutely is. But it's not working yourself to death over to have a Pinterest-ready showroom. And we need to remember, we live in these homes. They aren't showrooms. They aren't displays. So it's okay for them to be lived in a little bit. And just remember, instead of focusing on the end goal of having a sparkling, clean home, the whole idea is to focus on building good daily habits that will stand the test of time. And as you build the good habits and as you continually add to those habits, your house will continue to improve and get cleaner, and you're going to be able to tackle some of that clutter. So hang in there. If you come up with any good systems or you find success with one of the systems we've already outlined here, we would love to hear about it. So feel free to reach out to us.
We want to be a part of your adventure too. So submit your topics, questions, or silly stories to us at motherhoodadventurepod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes.
Become part of our mom tribe by following us on Facebook and Instagram so you don't miss a mess-filled mom moment. Thanks for joining us through our journey of tantrums, triumphs, and teamwork.
Till next time.